and everything we have preached, he said, it's real. So I encourage you, it's real. It's real. So today we're going to go further in our message of the road ahead. And I hope everybody's been listening to this because we're all living on that road. We're all going somewhere. Turn to somebody and say, you're going somewhere. But where you're going, that's important. And then I started jotting down some things about the road as we move forward today. We'll be talking today about when life reroutes. When life reroutes. And whether you believe it or not, that happens. And it happens more than you know. It's happened to me a lot. Things that I thought was going to go one way, it went another way. I wanted it to go a certain way, and yet God said, that's not the way I want you to go. So, I started jotting down this statement, the road ahead is what you believe it to be. You have to believe it. You have to believe it in order to receive it. Then you have to see it before you can achieve it. The road ahead. You have to see it before you can achieve it. And you have to remember this. Always keep this in your mind, and I have to do the same. It's not your road alone. It's not just your road alone, because the road has been laid out by the hand of God. Your road laid out by the hand of God. And all you have to do, here's all you have to do, is walk in it, stay in it, and finish it till the end. Walk in it, live in it, stay in it, and go all the way to the end. He said, be not weary in well-doing. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. So you have to endure. You have to keep going and not stop. Problem is, a lot of people want to stop halfway, and that's not where God wants them. God didn't want you to take up residence halfway on your road to where he wants you. He wants you to continue on to know him. So as some scriptural references and where we'll be going forward today, is Genesis, the 50th chapter. We're going to talk a little bit about Joseph. Joseph had some difficulties because Joseph was a dreamer. God gave him dreams. God will give you dreams. And those dreams are there for a reason. Those dreams are not there just so you'll have some little fanciful idea in your mind. It's there to start projecting you and moving you in a direction. How many want to move in a positive direction? I know you do, or you wouldn't be here today. But let me just read this to you. Because Joseph was betrayed not by his enemies. This is something y'all need to hear. As the old country board said, you-ins need to hear this. He was not betrayed by an evildoer or an enemy or somebody trying to knock him off his throne. He was betrayed by his own brothers. Let me say this, a side note. We're no better than Joseph. And there are people that you think are close to you, may get real close to you. Because sometimes the attack doesn't come from the outside, the attack comes from the inside. And that you have to be careful of. So I'll start reading. Genesis 50, verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, because you understand he had a dream of something great. I won't go through that today, but he had a dream of something great and how what God was going to do for him. So when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? So they sent word to Joseph saying, your father left these instructions before he died. Israel, leaving instructions. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now, please forgive the sins of the servants. Forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. And when their message came to him, watch this, Joseph wept. Why did Joseph weep? His brothers were fearful. Now watch what Joseph did. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said to him. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? I'm not God. You don't worship me. You don't fall in fear before me. Am I in the place of God? He said this then, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. You see, Joseph's life, if you really study it, Joseph's life had some unexpected turns. A lot of unexpected turns. But every unexpected road carries God's purpose with it to the greater plan. Every unexpected turn that you've had, that I've had, that Joseph had, is going to get us to God's greater plan. You may not see it now, but you will see it in the end. Don't miss the meaning behind your season. Whatever you're in, don't miss the meaning behind your season. What do you mean, Bishop? Don't fight the process. Go with the current of faith. Don't fight the process. Go with the current of faith. You know, they'll teach you if you're caught by in the ocean by, what do you call those things where they? A riptide. They tell you not to struggle against it, but to do what? Go with it. The problem is most of us want to struggle against the current of God, and all you're going to do is wear yourself out, and you're still going to go where He wants you to go. So I say, enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride. Every road trip, have you ever been on a road trip that something that happens? Every road trip has detours. Something's going to happen. Think about it. You're cruising along, got your favorite music on. I mean, it's going to town and you're singing and happy. It's probably gospel music. I know y'all don't listen to any secular music. I mean, you're playing your music and you're enjoying it, and you're Christian, I won't tell what you're doing. But you're going down the road and you got the GPS set, because I hear him talk about I-20 all the time. He gets mad every time he gets on it. And suddenly, and you're cruising, and all of a sudden something happens that just throws your life out of whack. You see the dreaded orange sign, detour ahead. Now, when me and my wife see that, we see the detour ahead, we're on a road trip, we just start praising God and thanking Him for the detour. Do you really believe that? No, I'm going to tell you, no one shouts, praise God for the detour. If you do, something's wrong with you. Why? Because detours cost time. This is what we think. Detours cost time. Detours test our patience. And how many of y'all, your patience gets thin? Terry, don't be thin, son. Detour costs time. Your patience gets thin. And then you realize it starts to mess with your plans. But you know one thing? You can't do anything about it. So why stress out? You can't do a thing about it. But here's the truth behind the sign. There's always a truth. You have to look for it as you go down the road. God does not need a clear road to get you to your destination. If y'all are a little warm today, don't worry about it. Hell's a lot hotter. Y'all are in training. Actually, it's not too bad today. So let me say that again so you don't miss it. He doesn't need a clear road to get you to the destination. Watch this. He can use blocked roads. He can use back roads. He can use broken roads. He can use those roads that you never planned to travel on before to get you to His intended destination. He doesn't need you and a clear road to get you to where you need to be. He doesn't need your decisions. He needs your obedience. Amen? But you look at the GPS system in your car. It's an amazing thing. It's interesting how navigation systems work to me. It really is. It knows where you are and you don't know where you are. You don't even know you're lost. But it knows you're lost. And it keeps telling me, turn around. You turn. What? Reroute. Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. I mean, it just keeps on doing it. You miss a turn, it tells you. Traffic shuts down a highway, it tells you. Construction blocks an exit. And all that, I noticed one thing about my GPS. The GPS never, ever panics. Oh, my God! If it did, I'd shake me up. Oh, my God. It doesn't say, well, now you've really screwed up. You've ruined your life. If my GPS did that, I'd rip it out of the car. It just simply says what my wife said a moment ago, rerouting. It understands that it has to choose a different path to get to the intended destination. And guess what? In all that, you're still going in the same direction. You may not be going on the path you chose, but it's going to choose a path to get you there, away from the obstructions. It's just taking a different path. Doesn't mean you're not going to get there. So your dreams, it doesn't mean you're not going to get to your dream. It just means there may be a different path to get you there. We stress ourselves out over worrying over what God says don't worry about. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. That's what the Bible teaches. In other words, don't worry about the pressures of today. God's going to take care of them. As a matter of fact, God's hand is on everybody in this room right now. You know why I know that? Because I know everyone in here has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you're a sinner, I don't know it. And sometimes, and many times in my life, God lets us hear a Holy Spirit rerouting. He starts rerouting us by His Spirit. And really, you want that. Don't run from that. You want God to speak to you. You want to hear that still, small voice. You want the Lord to say, here's the path. Here's the way, walk the Bible. Here's the way, walk ye in it. That's what you want to hear. I don't want to hear Him say, hey, you're walking your own way now. I don't want to hear that. That means I'm walking in disobedience. It's not because He's giving you a spiritual rerouting. It's not because you're lost. Let's get that firmly in our minds. It's not because you're lost, but God is saying there's something ahead He sees that you don't see. There's something that's in your path that He don't want you to encounter. I can tell you this. I was thinking this morning, I should have, when I was a little boy, probably in the second or third grade, a transfer truck ran over the top of my dad's car. I was sitting in this seat here on the left side, and it came right up over, and you could see the wheel marks on the car, but it did not smash the car. Our family survived. You say, well, that's coincidence. That truck came off the mountain, lost its brakes, ran over the top of our car. Have you ever seen a transfer truck hit a car, what it looks like? But it did not damage the car. You could see the tire marks, but it did not damage us or kill us. Why? Because God had a different path. God saw you sitting here today with this old boy speaking to you, and I couldn't speak to you if I died 37 years ago. Right, Carlos? So here's the deal. What if the delay you're in right now, the detour you're in right now, is still moving you forward? Let's get that. What if it really is still moving you forward? What if what you call frustration is really, watch this, Pat, what you call frustration is really preservation? I'm frustrated, but it may be preservation. God's saving you from something you don't see on the road. What if the thing that slowed you down, how many people have had this happen? It slowed you down, but it kept you from an accident. Now, I'm not talking about just cars. I'm talking about slowed you down. You started to do something in business or something happened in your life and you realize you got slowed down for a purpose, for a reason. I mean, when I was about 17 or 18 years old, I hit a truck head on. Probably my fault, because I was looking at a picture of a girl in my car. And then I was looking over my shoulder to see a car that I had sold. And I'm on a main road, and I'm doing about 55, 60 miles an hour. And I veered over, and he veered over, and we had head on. They said the impact was 80 miles an hour. I got out and walked away from it. It wasn't Alan that did it. The angel of the Lord kept me alive so I could stand here today and tell you, don't worry about the path. God has his hand on your life. I can go on with other stories where I should be dead. I bet you could tell a few. I'll never forget walking in my grandmother's basement, my mother's mother, and I had to stay with her because my granddaddy was out preaching, and she said, my dryer's not working. Can you see what's happening? I go down in those old basements, and it had this much water in it. I reached up into the box and grabbed 220. Now, how many people know about electricity? That should have killed me. It didn't kill me. Why? Because God had a path for my life. And the only reason I'm telling you these things is so I know you've got some stories. Why did God bring you to this day? Because God sees something on your road that's going to be very beneficial, not just to you, but for someone else, for the saving of many lives, as Joseph said, for the saving of many lives. We'll get into that in a moment. Maybe God has called you to this day to save somebody's life. There's been nobody I've prayed for lately that God didn't touch them. I prayed for Crystal the other night. She was in the hospital. I said, God, you know, I know she won't listen to you, but God, touch her. And he had to touch her because she was in severe pain. Other people called me this week. Some others have went into, I don't know what this thing is, everybody going into AFib. But God brought this person out. So everybody I've prayed for, it's not just, I just tell you, God hears prayers. On your road, God hears prayers. Quit fighting the process. Am I making sense yet? If y'all get too hot, stand up and just wave your arms around. It'll cool the room off. So, frustration or preservation, you have to choose. What if the thing that slowed you down did really in fact save you? What if the route you planned wasn't big enough? What if the route you planned wasn't big enough for what God is building up in you? Now that's a good one. Maybe God's building something new you don't even see. Maybe we're sitting here today. Here I prayed, I said, God, I would love to have a great service today. I just really, your Holy Spirit. So God gave us a bigger room. This room costs a lot more, believe it or not. But maybe God's going to do something. No, not maybe. He's already doing something. Amen. He's already doing something. So let's be honest. We are Christians. We've already proven that. Most of us know Jesus Christ. We are Christians. Some of us, though, although we are Christians, we call ourselves Christians, some of us are living in the frustration of a detour right now, aren't we? We're living in a detour. What do you mean? You thought your marriage would look different by now. Did you hear that, Rihanna? I heard that, Austin. You thought your relationship with someone would look different than it looks right now. You thought your finances would be stronger. Has anybody thought that? You thought that new job would have opened up for you. You thought your health would now be stabilized. You thought that you'd be further along, you'd be healed, you'd be better known, you'd be more settled. And then life hands you. Life does this. Life hands you a route you never expected. You never expected this route. There's things, my wife knows, there's things that's happened to me. I didn't expect it. But I don't even, I mean, I get angry for a moment, but then I say, you know what, God? Whatever you need to do in my life, do it. Just do it. Let's get her done. Let's get it done. That's just been my philosophy in life. It didn't matter. Somebody wanted to fight me physically. I said, you know, we're going to fight after school. I said, no, we're not fighting after school. We're going to do it right now. Because I'm not going to wait till after school to beat you up. I want to happen right now. I'm excited about it now. Let's get it done now. If God's going to bless me, I want it now. If He's going to heal me, I want it. If He's going to show me the proper road sign, I want it. Now's an important word. But understand, there can be a detour into you getting to your now. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. So you thought you'd be further along. And then all of a sudden, here comes the unexpected route. But maybe the road ahead that you're on, and me, maybe the road ahead has handed you some things, like a heartbreak you didn't choose. How many of you had some heartbreaks? A heartbreak you didn't choose. A door that closed on you with no warning. That could be business, finances, whatever. A door closes with no warning. An opportunity you had collapses, but you thought it was God. And it could have been God, but God lets it collapse so He can build something bigger in you. That's just fact. Maybe it's a betrayal like Joseph. Maybe it's a betrayal that blindsided you, and now you're left asking, God? I can hear me saying this. God, where am I? What's going on? Why am I here? Why am I here, God? These are all questioning moments we go through in life, don't we? Questioning moments we go through. And they're all so very real. But hear this statement. You go through the valley moment. Are you ready for this? What happened? Kingston did it. He's learning, but I'm going to fire him. Listen to me now, everybody. Get your mind back on me. The questioning moments are real, aren't they? But that valley you're in, but the valley is not the verdict. The valley is not the verdict. So quit looking at the low moments, because that's not the verdict. So, I don't think anyone can deny, if you really study the life of Joseph, that he went through some real detours. We'll cover them for a moment. And I would say that if anybody knows detours, about detours, it would be Joseph. His entire life was a divine rerouting. His whole life. Fast forward, Joseph is very important in saving Israel, the children of Israel. Okay, that's fast forward. But let's look back. In Genesis 37:23-24, understand what happens. The dreamer gets in trouble by his brethren. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat. They took the coat off that his father and mother had given him, stripped him out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Now, understand what he saw through his dreams, through his brothers. He expected elevation, but he got humiliation. How many of y'all have expected elevation before and got humiliation? It will happen. Then In Genesis 37:28, his brethren takes him out of the pit, his brothers, takes him out of the pit and sells him to the Ishmaelites. Sells him for 20 pieces of silver. That's all he was worth. 20 pieces of silver, they sell him. And then all of a sudden, you'll find out they sold him, the Ishmaelites sell him to a man named Potiphar. Now here's the story, Genesis 39:1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt and Potiphar. Where did God take him? Egypt. Where the children of Israel were going to end up. An officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard and an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down hither. So now he's in the hands of Potiphar. But Potiphar does something. He sees the kid is smart and handsome and had a way about him, and he made him ruler over his house. He trusted him with all of his goods, everything in his house. Okay, we're there now? So around Genesis 39, I won't read all this, Genesis 39:7-20, you're going to find out that Potiphar's wife looked at Joseph and saw that he was fair and handsome and well-built and said, I want you to go to bed with me. That's what the New International Version says. She didn't ask him one time. She went after him three times. And he said, how can I do that and sin against God when your husband has made me ruler over his house? And the only thing I don't have charge of is you. And yet now I'm going to take advantage of that. And he chose not to do it. On the third time, she grabs his coat and he runs out of his coat to get away from her. What does she do? She calls the servants of the house in and says, this man came in to basically rape me. And I battled with him and I got his coat. Then Potiphar gets home, and what she tell Potiphar? This Hebrew you brought into my house has tried to rape me, basically. And I got his coat right here. Here it is right here. What did Potiphar do? Potiphar threw him in the king's prison. Sometimes you don't have to do anything wrong to get thrown in prison. He gets into prison because of false accusation. I would imagine if it was me and I'd run from Potiphar's wife, I don't know if I'd have run. I'd probably done something stupid. I mean, you know, really? But Joseph expected a reward. And what did he get? Injustice. He should have been rewarded, but he got injustice. Then in prison, a chief butler that's really Joseph's inmate has a dream, and Joseph interprets the dream and tells him that he'll be restored. I'm giving you the short version. You're going to be restored within 3 days. You're going to be restored. He said, the only thing is when you're restored to your position with Pharaoh, remember me. Famous last words. Remember me. Well, everything happens like he said. 3 days goes past. Pharaoh does exactly that. He does away with the old butler, kills him actually, and he brings this man in, and this man forgets Joseph. So now we've got a chief butler that forgets Joseph. Huh. He expected gratitude, just like we would. He expected gratitude from the chief butler, but what did he get? Silence. Sometimes you get silence instead of gratitude. But here's what the scripture never says. And all this, I said all that to get you to hear. Here's what the scripture never says. Joseph's dream died. The scripture never says Joseph's dream died. Why? Because God used every detour to move him exactly where he needed to be. Every detour, And we may not like it, and we may not understand it. It may cost us a little money, but every detour is getting us where we need to be. In fact, this is fact, the very detours that looked terrible to Joseph, I'm sure it did at that time. It looked terrible to Joseph, but see it this way. It was the delivery system God used to position him for influence in Egypt. Because he came out of that prison. And what happened? Pharaoh made him second in command over all Egypt. My God. Now he's second in command over all Egypt. And now his brothers are in a famine and they've got to come to him and beg for corn. And when his brothers finally stood before him, Joseph said, what you and I need to declare today, we need to declare this. You meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good. That's Genesis 5:20. You meant it for evil. I've had people do it to me before. I mean, there are people that tried to destroy me personally and my ministry, the ministry God gave me. I'm telling you for a fact, they tried. It just didn't work because God had another plan. Notice in this scripture, it did not say God fixed it. I want to read that again. You meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good. Not God fixed it. Not God patched it. Not God worked around your evil. Watch this. God meant it. He purposed it. Now, you got to get that in your mind. Not miss this point. God meant it. He purposed it. He wove it. He used it. He meant it on purpose to get you to where you are today. All the things we've gone through, we're sitting in a nice room here at the Hilton. But God brought us here. Put us in this room, it should have cost us more money. But we got it for the same thing. Thank God for that. Just needs to be a little cooler. But you know what? We have been so cold we couldn't breathe in here before. So God weaves us and uses us. And I want to liken it to this. I want you to consider for a moment. Has anybody looked at a tapestry before? From the front of the tapestry, it is beautiful. I don't care how you look at it and who wove it. It's beautiful from the front side. But from the back, it's full of knots, tangles, and threads. Look at it. It's not attractive at all. Life feels like, to some of us, to most of us, life feels like the back of a tapestry. Chaotic, tangled, unconnected, but God sees the front. God sees the front. And what is that? You're a masterpiece in the making. Say that back to me. I'm a masterpiece in the making. You see, on the backside, threads look like they're random. It looks actually all knotted and twisted, but it's forming a picture that others can see. You're seeing the backside. God sees the front side. And colors that clash on the backside are becoming a collective beauty on the front side. Does that make sense? That's where we are. So what you call a detour, God calls a thread. It's just another thread in your tapestry. I'm not be too long. Everybody get happy. Do your hand like that. Move there around a little bit. This is how to view your life's condition. Because we all got a life's condition. Imagine driving across a city and seeing a half-built bridge. I've seen some. It looks incomplete. It looks unusable. It looks confusing. But the engineers don't run out and panic. Because it's in the process. Why would the engineers run out and get into a panic? Why are they not in a panic? Because they know the blueprint. They know the purpose. They know the final shape. God sees your life like that bridge. You may feel suspended, stuck, or unfinished. Have you ever felt that way before? but His design. Say His design. You are exactly where the next piece belongs. You're exactly where the next piece belongs. So what should we do? We're starting to wind down now. Start making it personal. Make it personal. Name it. Don't run from it. Don't be afraid of it. What is your current detour? Because you've got them. Think for a second. What is your current? You may not tell your husband or your wife, your boyfriend or girlfriend, or even really admit it to yourself. But what is your current detour? Say it internally now. Own it. Speak it honestly to God. Is it a delay? Is it a disappointment? Is it a diagnosis? Is it a closed door? Is it a heartbreak? Or is it a setback? Now here's where you have to deal with it. I want you to pray something dangerous. What's that, Bishop? Lord, show me the purpose in this path. Lord, I know I'm here, but show me the purpose in this path. Not get me out, which I always pray. Not get me out, not fix this fast, but if you rerouted me, reveal why. If you're rerouting me, reveal why. Because purpose, everybody say purpose. Because purpose thrives on roads we didn't pick. That's just fact. So here's your breakthrough. Here's your breakthrough. What feels like wasted time because of the detours, what feels like wasted time is often a setup for a bigger story. Watch this. Joseph's pit was not wasted. His slavery was not wasted. His prison was not wasted. His pain was not wasted. In God's hand, nothing is wasted. Can you prove that? Yes, I can. Romans 8:28 reminds us that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Did y'all hear that? Not some things. Not just good things. Maybe some evil things or some negative things. He's saying not some good things, not some things, but all things work together. Even detours, especially detours. Especially detours. So your life, say my life, is not off track. It's not off track. Especially in these things called detours. Your purpose is not behind schedule. Because God has the schedule. Your story has not been derailed. God reroutes, His reroutes are still roads. There are still roads ahead. There's still a road ahead of you. And you're on the right road. Say, I'm on the right road. What is the right road? His road. Though the scenery may change around you, you may see different people, talk to different people, associate with different people, maybe be in a new job, whatever. The scenery may change, and though even the pace may have slowed down for you just a bit, the route may look completely unfamiliar, but here in all this, He's still guiding you. He's still taking you where He wants you to end up. Am I right or wrong? He's still leading you. He's still moving you forward, because with God, say with God, every detour is a destiny path in disguise. Every detour is a destiny path in disguise.